right? Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Man, I'll tell you what, mothers, if we're honest men, our wives do so much. I posted a little cartoon this morning on our social media that shows, it said, hey, Mom, we hired some people to take care of your stuff while you take Mother's Day off, and there's a chef, there's a driver, there's all these different people. There's like 20 people lined up to take care of things, and that's what your moms do. I'm thankful for my wife sitting back there at the back and for all that she has done. We raised two wonderful kids, and they both love the Lord, and I believe that was a direct, we even homeschooled our children as well. So she was not only mom, but she was also teacher. I just got to be principal when things went bad. So yes, she's been a wild ride and a partner in the ministry that we have been in. This ministry has taken us from a long trip, and she has been faithful to the Lord in the midst of that. So if you're a mom, be faithful to the Lord first. Amen. So we're going to be in Psalms chapter 5 today, and it is yet another prayer of David's. We've seen a couple different prayers so far as we've been going through the book of Psalms. We've been in chapter 3 and 4 are both prayers, and each one of them kind of has their own feel to it. But I want to ask you a question. I want you to kind of search yourself. You're going to have to ask yourself this a little bit. But when someone is praying, maybe we're in a gathering like this or a small group or whatever, when someone else is praying, are you listening to what they're saying? Are you praying along with them? Are you praying your own prayer? Ask yourself that question. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Think about that. Do you listen to what they're saying and just be amen and praying along with it? Or are you kind of doing your own thing? I ask that question because I tend to be a person who I like to listen to what people are saying. It's probably because of the direction that God has taken me so many different times in counseling, and that's one of the things that I'm blessed to do in this church and in ministry is to be able to counsel. And to be a good counselor, you have to be a good listener. And you all know I love to talk. Amen. You can say it. And I talk a lot in counseling as well when it's needed, but to be a good listener, to listen to what people are saying. And it's interesting. I want to encourage you to try this. Next time you're in a group and people are praying, maybe you're all taking turns, to listen to what the person's saying and how they're saying it. You can learn a lot, especially for those people who are going through difficult times. Sometimes you can pick up on the pain that they're feeling or the difficulty that they're working through with the Lord. Sometimes, you know, there are people that if you pray with on a regular basis, sometimes people, you go, yeah, when I pray with so-and-so, they always kind of pray the same prayer. But when there's something difficult going on, everything changes. And you can start to hear different aspects of what they're saying. I've prayed for God to allow me to see that in people, whether it's prayer or anything that they say, to try and listen and try and pick up on what's really going on. What are they really feeling in that? I've asked God as I've been a counselor for a long time, is Lord, show me. I want to be able to see people how they're created, not only from their past, but whatever's going on in their life right now. I want to be able to understand where they're at, so I can kind of connect with them. I consider myself a bit of an empath, where I pick up on people's their feelings and their emotions and their energies a little bit. So I prayed that for a long time, and I don't always get it 100% right all of the time, but I feel like I'm pretty good at that. And so I like to listen very carefully when people are even praying. And I think that what we have before us is a prayer that we should listen carefully to. We don't have an audio recording of David sharing this, but he's sharing a prayer, and the text today is from David's own words. Let's try and carefully hear what he's saying and why he's saying it. How the things around him are affecting his mind and his spirit. To our benefit, David did a pretty good job of these things were written down in such a way that we can kind of really understand. We can use the verbiage of the day to understand what he was saying and why he was saying. And then we also have the benefit of having God's word. Amen? I mean, we're blessed by that. If we didn't have that, we would be in trouble in a lot of places in our lives. But we have God's word that we don't have to have a scroll that is sitting out in front of some priest that's being read to us, but we can carry it around in our hands and our cell phones for that matter. And so we're blessed by that. So we do have a little bit of history about David. We've been learning about that over the past few weeks. So the simplicity of what's going on right now is that David wrote Psalm 3 while he was fleeing from his son Absalom's rebellion against his kingdom, seeking refuge in the wilderness. His own son, his own flesh and blood had risen up against him. That must be hard. And Absalom's forces were out to destroy David. We all will have enemies in our lifetime, or what we might want to call or consider those who are against us, people who come against us, who try to bring the worst to us. Some of you can say, oh man, if you worked at my job, you would know. There's this one lady or this one guy who always seems to try and get me to mess up. You know, I'm seeing some head shake. Amen? You've been there, right? Maybe a neighbor down the street, somebody that's trying to get you in trouble every time you put up a fence post or something of that nature, right? Some people who are actively working to damage or destroy our lives or our businesses. But this was David's own son, his flesh and blood. And some of you may know what that's like. Some of you I know have shared that you have children who've come up against you. And you do know what that's like. I don't, but he does. He was hurt. He was in pain. He was beaten down by his circumstances. So as we jump into this and as we read, and I know it's all kind of subjective on how you read it, but I'm going to share with you where I picked up as I went through this study of what is it that David's truly trying to say and what is he feeling here. So let's jump into Psalms chapter 5, verses 1 through 3 to start out with. It's for the director of music for pipes or flutes, a psalm of David. Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament, my sighing, my groaning. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. Now again, we don't have the benefit of an audio recording to see how he said things, and I think that's important. We know in the world that we live in text and written things that go out, we sometimes say things very quickly, and it can be taken the wrong way, but this is very well spelled out. And there's three things that I picked up right away in the teaching that we have in front of us, and that's three times he said something. First, he said, listen to my words, Lord. Then he said, consider my lament or sighing or groaning, depending on the translation that you're reading. Hear my cry. Three different times that David repeated and made clear that he wanted audience with God. He wanted God to hear him. Oh, Lord, please listen to me. In fact, the word lament is translated a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. He's crying out to God. Wanted God's attention. Have you been there? You'll be there again someday. He was begging for an audience with his Lord. He was crying out from a point of pain, whatever that was, pain, fear, whatever was going, all these things, feelings going through him because of all that was happening to him. And it wasn't just the physical threat. As we've read so far and as we're going to read as well, it wasn't just that he was fearing for his life. There was a lot of bad things being said about him. A lot of things that were being said that hurt. You know what that's like, right? Sometimes that slander, that gossip, that lies, to see, it hurts more than physical pain. I got to tell you, as a pastor, as a leader in the church, as I've grown up in this, you know, there are times when things get said and it hurts way worse than if you just came up and punched me in the throat. I mean, guy, we always joke around that guys, this is how guys deal with things. I'm mad at you, so we come up and we punch each other in the shoulder, and okay, I'm good. Not to say that women wouldn't do that too. Some of you I wouldn't want to take on. But sometimes that hurts worse. An attack on your character, an attack on who you are, especially when you've heard it through the grapevine, and you know that is not true about me. But how do you fight? How does he fight those people that are saying things against him? He doesn't have the ability to stand in front of them at this point and say, this is wrong, this is a lie. So all he can do at this point is to cry out to God. And all that he should do is cry out to God. In verse 2, it says, hear my cry for help, my King, my God, and my God, for you, to you I pray. Now, this sounds pretty elementary, but it's the essential part of prayer that we are, because we often, I think sometimes when we come to prayer, and I don't know, you have to kind of, and that's what I want you to kind of do, is kind of think about your prayer life and how you talk to God when you come before the Lord. What's that look like? Whether you're in the midst of a struggle right now, or there will be one. It's guaranteed. Now, if somebody told you that when you came to Christ, nothing bad ever happens, they were just lying. Because it does. In fact, I feel like sometimes more comes at me now because I'm not so deluded by the world. And as I stand up for the Lord, more things come at me. So we often come to the Lord and think about that. Like the last time you're going through a difficult time, what did it sound like when you started talking to him? Oh, God, this thing is going on, and I just need you to step in here, and, you know, this is really bad, and Lord, what I really want you to do is this, and we start out in this massive list of requests, and I believe that God hears you. Please don't take me wrong in that, because God can decipher our prayers. But we come sometimes so full of requests or our feelings that we never consciously focus on God and the sense of his presence. When I come in here, when I come in for prayer on my own, I come in here, I get down on this first or second seat here, lights are all off, and I pray, and I try and picture what he looks, picture Jesus in front of me, picture my Savior. And it's great because I often sometimes come in shame because I haven't done so well. Do I hear an amen? I've not done so well. I've done some things that I don't like, but then I look up at his face and he's smiling at me. And I'm like, God, please forgive me for what I've done and what I've been and what I've, you know. And God's like, what are you talking about? You're my boy. I'm proud of you. He doesn't look at me that way anymore. But I want to sense his presence. And David was a great man of prayer because his prayer time was very much focused on God. He wanted to be in God's presence as he spoke. And he wanted to acknowledge that he was in God's presence. R.A. Torrey wrote a book on how to pray, and this is what he said, and I love this. Very much of so-called prayer, both public and private, is not unto God. In order that a prayer should be really unto God, there must be a definite and conscious approach to God when we pray. We must have a definite and vivid realization, and I love this, that God is bending over us and listening as we pray. Do you sense that when you pray? That's what David was wanting in this place. He wanted to know that God was bending over and listening to what he had to share. Know that God's presence there, trusting in God's presence. And then the next part of that in verse 3 is very key to me and really spoke to me in the midst of this, and that is, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. David made it a point to pray. Now, Psalms 4, we saw that David prayed in the evening before he went to bed. Now, prayer should be happening all times of the day. Amen? In fact, if we look at Scripture, prayer should start and never stop until we close our eyes and fall asleep. We should be praying continually, speaking to the Lord. We have that kind of connection. If you are not saved and in this place today, you are missing out. Because we have a Savior that walks with us every step of the way. I don't have to go, wait, stop. God, where are you? I know he's right there. His presence is there. So I talk to him throughout the day. No matter what comes my way, I talk to him. But he did this morning prayer because he wanted to begin his day and to set the tone for the entire day and dedicate it to the Lord. I think that's great. Before the battles, before the challenges, before the decisions, he lays his prayer before God, and then he waits expectantly, believing that God will move. When does your prayer time start? When does your prayer time start? When is the first time that you have a conversation with God? When you wake up, God, help me get over the bed. Help me get out of the bed. Lord, help me to make it to the bathroom. That might be a prayer too. You younger people will understand someday. Is it before the coffee? Is it before the bathroom? Is it before we walk the dog? Is it before the news? There's a famous, I found this really great quote, and there's a reason for it, but a famous missionary to China, his name's Hudson Taylor. And Hudson Taylor had a problem finding time alone with God, so he would get up at 2 a.m. before anybody else would get up and spend his time with the Lord, and then nothing would get in his way. And I found that ironic when I read that, because I have heard from some of you, and some of you are going, what, really? Because you've said the very same thing to me. God has woken me up at 2 a.m., and I just couldn't do anything else but pray. I knew that that's the time that God wanted me to. I've heard that from several of you, that God's waking you up at 2 a.m. God's not done that to me yet, but he has. Well, I have woke up in the middle of the night. I can't get past something, and I spend my time in prayer with the Lord then. But this man was, and what David was doing was saying, no, not just based on some specific issue. I want to get up and start spending my day every morning starting out with the Lord. And I think that's a great thing to do. So when you wake up, what's the first voice that you listen to? And ask yourself honestly that, because I did. I'm challenged on this. Is it the news? Is it your fears? Is it your calendar and what you have to take care of for the day? Is it your anxiety over whatever else you've been dealing with in life? David teaches us to begin with the Lord. Start our day by pouring out our real concerns, your needs, your worship before the Lord. And it does not have to be, well, you say, well, you don't understand. When I first get up, my mind is not completely clear, and I'm going to talk in gibberish. Well, he doesn't want the King James English to be shared. What he wants is to have communion with you. He wants to talk to you. So to get up and to pray, and after you pray, wait expectantly for God to work. Do you wait expectantly? Do you believe that God hears you and he's going to move? I am not a name it and claim it kind of guy. And if you lean that way, that's fine. But I don't see it in Scripture where I can say, God, this is what I want you to do. You need to do it. In fact, I'm glad that he doesn't do that. How many things have you asked for that you're glad now he did not play out exactly as you asked him to do it? But I do wait expectantly, because I know God, it says he'll never leave me and never forsake me. The picture is painted throughout Scripture that he walks with me each and every step of the way. So he's never going to leave me, and he's going to work, and maybe he's already worked. Maybe he's doing something that I can't quite get and I don't see it at this point. But I do expect God to work. Not like I expect you to work, but I expect based on what I know of him and I know of his nature. God is to come and bring things to the Lord and know that he cares. There's a song. I was out walking yesterday afternoon. We have a dog that the breed of the dog is I think it's called crackhead dog is what it's called. And you laugh, but if you met my dog, you would know. It's a rat terrier. She's still puppy and will be to the day that she dies. And walking her is an adventure. But I needed to take her out yesterday because it was just not. She was bouncing off the walls. So we went for a walk. But I was talking to the Lord, and I had my earbuds in and praying. And a song came on that, as I'm studying through this, that just really spoke to me. And if you listen to the whole song, I think it'll speak to you as well if you haven't heard it. But it's a song, I think it was written back in like 2020 by Chris Tomlin. And it's a song called God Who Listens. And there was one line, a little section that stood out to me, and he says this: you're a God who listens, who knows me, who loves me, who will never fail me, who tells me that I am his own, and you surround me, remind me, you always are for me, so I come boldly to your throne. I loved that. That's the God we serve. He loves us. He cares about us. And so to wait expectantly, to expect that God's going to move, yeah, I do. I do expect that God's going to move. Because that's the kind of person that he is. That's the kind of entity that he is. That's the kind of God that he is. So I want to challenge you to this. To start now, find a way to add to your morning day, before anything else gets started, to start your day in prayer. I have taken on that challenge. I got to be honest with you. My day in the mornings, I am not a morning person. My wife is a morning person. She's chipper enough to make me just want to... No, I kid. She never used to be a morning person, but she is now. We have animals and things like that, and she gets up to take care of them. And when I get up, I could get up in a bad mood. I could. We've all done that, right? Got up on the wrong side of the bed. And she's got worship music playing. She's singing to the Lord in the back of the house. Sometimes she said, well, I'm trying to be as quiet as I can, which is not true. I'm in every door, but she's loving the Lord and she's praising the Lord, and that really blesses me. But I have a tendency to get up, you know, visit the bathroom, get my coffee going in my Keurig, and grab my phone and start following up on what's going on in the world and things like that. Now, I come to prayer and I get my Bible out in the morning and start reading it, but I got to be honest, it hasn't been the first thing, so I've made a challenge for myself. That when I roll over in the bed and I put my feet over the edge before it even hits the floor, our bed's kind of tall, I'm going to start talking to him. God, what do you, good morning, Father. Lord, I love you. Thank you for the good night's sleep, Lord. God, I want today to be your day. I want to be your servant. I want to be all that you want me to be. I want to hear what you have to say to me. I want to be open to that. Father God, help me in my weakness. Help me with anything that I struggled with in anxiety in the night, if you ever have that issue. Some, a lot of you do, struggling with anxiety, things you wake up in the middle of the night. To take it all before the Lord and put it there. Now, my prayer is not, we're not talking about a half an hour prayer on the edge of the bed because of the bathroom. You got to get the bathroom. But it is a prayer to get things started because that's when I want to start. I just woke up, kicked my feet over the edge of the bed, and I know God's presence is right there with me. So I want to challenge you to do the same. Start doing that, making that your beginning of your day. And then he goes on in verse 4 and says, "For you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. With you, evil people are not welcome. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. The bloodthirsty and deceitful you, Lord, detest." Now, bit of a commentary on what he's dealing with, all that's going on right now, I'm sure, and what's happening to him, the people out to see to destroy him, kind of throws that in there. And I mean, that is the focus of this entire prayer that he's coming for, wicked people coming against him and against his God. But I also see that he's kind of commenting on the nature of God, acknowledging the nature of God, of what God likes and what God dislikes. And possibly, I said this to Pastor Jim the other day, possibly a little bit of a self-assessment, reminding yourself, oh yeah, these are things you don't like. This is the kind of attitude that you don't like. Now, David was full well that he displeased God. David was not a perfect man. I don't know did they cover all of that stuff in the Amazon show that you're watching? They do. So there's House of David. We didn't get a chance. We were going to start watching last night. It's on Amazon, I think, and he says it does a fairly good job of that. But David was not a perfect man. You know, we can go back all the way back to David knocking down a giant with a rock and go, yeah, he was godly all the way through. But then there was a story that I seem to remember where he was up on a rooftop watching another woman take a bath. And then he got that woman pregnant. And then he had her husband killed. He was a wicked man. He was that. He was the wickedness that he speaks of. So maybe a little self-reminder of these are things that God does not like. Does God hate? Now, I want to ask that question. I want you to think about that because the world, you know, you've heard this. You hear people that you can tell do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They're out there in the world. They're being interviewed. And they're saying, no, God is 100% a God of love. God does not hate. Really? Does God hate? There are things that God hates, right? Do we not see that in Scripture? Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. If you don't know that one, write it down because there are things that God hates. There are six things that the Lord hates. Specific wording there. God hates. Seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Well, some of those things match exactly what he said up there, really, the same context. These are things that God hates. Now, I want to encourage you to do something. As David is taking a self-assessment at this point, and I believe that David's a godly man, but he's taking kind of just reiterating this, whether that was his intent of putting it there, that's kind of what I read. It's like, you know, I know these are the things that you dislike, God, and I don't want to be those things, because you know, in the midst of struggle and difficult times, it would be very easy for him to do those things in retaliation. We have all retaliated at some point in time, amen? Yeah, that person at work, I'll show them. I will eat their food in the refrigerator. No. But I want to say that it's good to do a little self-evaluation every once in a while. Even if you say, well, I'm saved, I love the Lord, and I serve the Lord, to do a little self-evaluation every one time, to back up and kind of take a look at your life and the things that you've been doing, the things you've been saying, and the attitudes that you have. Because I believe that we're told to be in the world, but not of the world. But the world tends to kind of dilute us to some degree, doesn't it? I mean, I'll pick something. I mean, if you are on social media, there are words right now that you would not use in a sentence that you listen to on a regular basis on social media. Am I right? Do I hear an amen? There are words that come up that have become part of the regular vocabulary that we're just deluded to some degree. And if we can be deluded to say, whatever, you know, and just skip right over that, then cannot we not be deluded to the point where maybe there's some things that we are doing. Maybe there's some, and there's a lot of these things in both places that come from our mouth. I just want to say, I'm not casting any stones here, because I've probably been guilty of it as well in my own life, but to every once in a while step back and go, Lord, is there anything that's been coming from me that is just displeasing to you? Because I don't want to be that. I'm not going to be perfect, but I want to be corrected by it. I want to read your word. That's because that's the point of the word, right? We read the word because you read it and you go, oh my gosh, that hurts. There's every once in a while it needs to hurt. You've said that to the pastor. Pastor, you stepped on my toes today. No. God's word stepped on your toes. Because there are things sometimes we can find ourselves in. There's a lot of things that Bible tells us not to do. Why? Because he knows that we're going to do it, right? And so we're reminded that those are things that are not pleasing to God. And you know, when it comes to all that's going on with David and these things that were shared and the things that so much easily come from our mouths, gossip and slander, can I just say that too easily finds its way into the church? It finds its way into the church, and it can be extremely damaging. Not just the church in this building, but the church as we are out in the world. We can find ourselves, we can say, well, I wouldn't do that in church, but I'll go to work and I will do that. I'll be involved in the little gossip stream. But that's still the same, because who's the church? You are. We are the church. So to find yourself easily in that place, yeah, we could. So I think it's good every once in a while. A little marker from David here is to say, Lord, I just want to take a look at my life. Lord, is there anything that's displeasing to you? I want to be, my prayer every day now is, Lord, I want to be a better man. I just want to be a better man today. So what's that mean? Well, what things are in my life that are displeasing to you? Have I put my eyes on something that I shouldn't have had? Do I have an attitude about something? Did I handle a situation wrong? I can't go back and fix that situation. But I can learn from it. Amen? And we can fix it sometimes. Speaking of the moms today, guys, how many times have we treated the moms not so good? And we've said things and we've been harsh or critical, and we can make those things right by going back to them and saying things. We have some situations we can. But David, I believe, again, he's talking about the nature of God here. He's kind of saying, these are the people that are coming against me, and I know this displeases you, Lord. And then he comes to God in humility, starting in verse 7. But I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence, I bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. So David wants the clear, perfect, precise direction in leading and dealing with all of this. Because again, he is just a human being, and just like you and I, in any given situation when things did get difficult, we can choose the wrong path. We can handle it wrong. Doesn't mean God stops loving us. Doesn't lose my salvation. But we can handle things wrong. And what David wants to do is to walk correctly. Because of his enemy, he's asking for God's leading. God, because of all this that's coming against me, I know who I am. I know what I could easily do. But I want to humble myself before you. He knew his own flesh. He knew he could easily go in the wrong direction. But David was a different man than he was before. Praise God for his grace. Amen? Praise God that we can have been a bad person and that we can be something different now. I've shared that with you before. When I used to lead the teenagers here, I would say, if you knew me as a teenager, you wouldn't want me near your teenagers because of how I used to act, the kind of man that I was before. But because of God's grace, I'm a different man, and David was changed. He'd been changed by a mighty and powerful God, the same God he was now calling for direction and help from. Here's where David humbled himself before the Lord. When you pray, do you humble yourself before the Lord? Or do you demand your own way? It's a good question. Like I said, when I find my prayer, I find that in my mindset that I have to look upon the Lord and I have to see him high and lifted up, the God of all creation. I have to see him in that place and realize I am but a man and I'm coming before this Lord and Savior to ask something from him or to talk to him about something and humble myself in that way, not by my own demands. I think too often we come before God deciding what needs to happen before we even ask it, amen? We've done that, right? We bring our request before God, but God's ways are not always our ways. We say it and everybody says amen, but we don't like it when it's that way, right? I mean, when we pray and a difficult time is going on, what do we want? We want resolution and we want deliverance. There's what I want. That's what I'm asking for, God, that you take it all away and everything is fixed and everything moves perfectly from this point forward, right? But is it possible that God's plan is for you to not find resolution at this point and not be delivered at this point? Is that possible that God wants you to go through it? I know that's hard, but I have experienced it in my life that there are times that he may need you to just stand and be standing when it's all done by the power of God. I mean, I can say that's deliverance. That's victory, right? That I saw what God said. I walked in his ways. And when the whole thing was over, I'm still standing. I'm taken back to Ephesians chapter 6. And if you've read that, if you haven't read that, it talks about putting on the full armor of God. It's a great one to keep in your quiver and to read on a regular basis because it kind of covers everything that we need to do to be prepared to face the battles and the things that are before us. But I want you to make note of something, and I say this quite often. In Ephesians 6, verse 13, this is what it says. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. It didn't say I slew the giants. It didn't say that I took out the army. It said I was protected in God's ways and with God's things. I was standing in the power and the strength and the leading of a righteous God. And when it was all said and done, I am unscathed. And I'm still standing. We don't like to think of it that way, but isn't that the truth? Sometimes part of God's plan is for me to go through the battle and just to make it out alive, right? Will those who come against us and do evil, if they don't change their minds and change their hearts, will they receive their just penalty? Yeah. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, and they will receive that. Because of his protection and direction, he made our path straight, and he got us to the other side. That's it. He got us to the other side. So if we're following God's perfect leading, wherever it takes you, if you're following what God has told you to do, no matter what happens, that's victory. Amen? Victory because I'm walking in God's ways and this is what God told me to do. Things happened along the way that I didn't expect nor did I want, but I got through them. The key is humility before God. My focus on what does God want? So whatever you're facing right now, whatever the issue is, what does God want? What does God want from you? He may not show you what he wants or what he's going to do in the situation. I mean, I'm kind of thankful. Sometimes I'm glad he doesn't show me that far ahead. Amen? Like I would not be ready to handle what you're going to tell me is going to come about on the other end of things. But even Paul said to live is Christ, to die is gain. So even if I die, Still victory, amen? That's what I want to do. I want to walk and I want to focus on what God wants. I want to seek His direction, not walking on my own, but by the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit and the direction of His Word that we have so easily in front of us. That's victory, regardless of where it takes us. But I might just be honest. You're going to pray it, right? Who wasn't going to pray, God, take this away? Smack. I mean, David goes on. Later on in the Psalms, he may be kind of nice now and just covering some sin. He's going to get pretty graphic in later on as he goes through and just bust the teeth out of their mouth. I mean, we've all been in that place, and I think that God wants us to come honestly before Him, because that's what David did. He came honestly before the throne. If you think you're thinking something in your mind, I can't say that in front of God. Well, He already knows what you're thinking. Verse 9, not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave. Ugh. With their tongues they tell lies. Declare them guilty, O Lord. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. David was focused on what the wicked say as evidence of their wickedness, how they act, what comes out of their mouth. But David also understood probably that Matthew 12:34, he didn't understand the principle of out of the abundance of the mouth, of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart. And you've met people that say and claim Jesus Christ, but when you talk to them, you go, I'm not so sure. Right? Have you? You come across those people that say, I love Jesus. I mean, social media right now, if you're on there and you look at the interviews that go on and people that do, I love to watch those, you know, the guys that are out there. Hey, could you tell me what you think about? And people are like, well, I'm a Christian. And then let out the massive line of curse words that I've ever heard put together in a sentence. Yeah, and then the hatred and the violence that comes from the mouth. I'm like, I got to be honest, that's not good fruit. I don't know that I could say that you're a believer, not based on what I'm hearing from you. Our righteousness or our wickedness will sooner or later show up in your speech. Sooner or later, it's going to come out of your mouth. David felt the sting of the wicked words and the lies against him, yet his prayer shows that something good came out of these attacks for the enemy. A wise man once said this, I like this. It says, thus a man's enemies, while they oblige him to pray more fervently and to watch more narrowly his conduct, oftentimes become his best friends. I was thinking about that as I read that. I was like, Is it possible that the attacks and the difficulties that we face keep us so close to God? I mean, let's just do this. Ask yourself, if you never faced an attack, you never had any difficulties in your life, I don't know who would do that, no hard times, everything was perfect, what would your relationship with Jesus Christ look like? Someone said, well, I would just love Him all the more. But I think that sometimes those are the things that push us into spending more time with Him, that we realize these are things that are going on that I have no control over. I can't do anything about. But God can. Those things drive us to even more prayer and to our powerful God. And we can do nothing without Him and everything and anything with Him. Amen? So sometimes the enemies that come against us, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I faced this, because You've changed some things. I mean, I can tell you that over the past couple years, a few things have happened in Kelly and I's life that I really, truly believe God has used, that you could call them attacks. It could just be part of life. Things happen. But they have really pushed me forward into a tighter and closer relationship with my Lord, because there are things I can't do anything about. There are challenges, there are issues, problems that I can't do anything about. But I know He can. He gives me confidence. He gives me grace. Sometimes He answers the prayer. Sometimes He does. Sometimes He does. The deliverance is there. I've shared already before that my wife was diagnosed a little over a year ago with a blood cancer. It's not cancer as you would think about it, but it is a blood cancer. Body makes too much blood and it kind of clogs the system up and all. It's called polycythemia vera. And that was scary. That was scary. And but right now, if you looked at her blood work, you wouldn't even know that she has it because God came in. He delivered. He brought resolution to it, or at least for now, and he's getting her through it on a regular basis. So those things being allowed to come into our lives really drive us more to the foot of the cross, and I'm thankful for that. So be thankful that God has allowed, because anything that has come your way, God has allowed. You say, well, God would never allow anything bad to come my way. Doesn't he? I mean, I know that he never leaves my side, right? I'm a different person than, say, Job, where God just said, hey, Satan, go ahead, take after him. He doesn't do that to me. But there are times when God lets a lot of things come my way. Because if God thought it was going to be a bad thing for me, he would just stop it. And he has, right? But if he's let something come my way, it's something that can make me a better man before him. David prayed, though, for these wicked would come to the what they deserved in the end. As rebels against God, they deserved the guilty sentence. And this was an honest prayer from David. It was an honest, honest prayer. Now, obviously, on this side of the cross, our prayers should also include that, and we've done this recently, that the people who are coming against us to do us evil would find Jesus. How often do you hear that in a sense? They just need Jesus. Amen? Josh, we've prayed that prayer. The people that come against people that do things that are evil and nefarious, God's going to handle them one day or another, but those people need Jesus Christ. And what a great thing would be for those who come against us and do harm to us to come to salvation. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? And even with David, I mean, he was an evil man at one time, and God forgave him and put him in an amazing place and blessed him. Oh, thank God for that. David prayed for God's judgment on those who went against God's ways. It was heartfelt. And like I said, coming up again, like Psalm 58, where David's saying, all right, I've had it. Snap their teeth off in their mouth, Lord. I mean, we've all prayed those prayers, right? Maybe not that one. Verse 11 and 12. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. I was praying this prayer for all of humanity, for sure, and all those around him, but I believe it was also a cry from his own heart. In the midst of this turmoil and the pain and the disruption of his entire life, David wanted to be able to sing to the Lord with joy. He wanted to rejoice in the Lord, even in all of this. The righteous aren't made righteous by their words. Okay? The righteous aren't made... The righteous are those who trust the Lord and love his name. But their righteousness is evident in their words. They rejoice, they shout for joy, and they are joyful in the Lord. And at the end, David asked for one more piece of help. Just kind of threw it in there. You see that about the shield? A shield doesn't protect, particularly if you read even through Ephesians chapter 6, where it puts on the full armor of the God. A shield is a part of the armor, but it's not something that protects any specific part of the body. It's large enough, but it's mobile enough that it can protect any part of the body. It's armor over armor. And that's what David's asking for. Lord, would your armor be over my armor? Lord, protect me. That's good. So whatever you're facing, physical, emotional, spiritual, you can still live in joy because your security is not in your circumstances. It's in your Savior. Now my circumstances, that's why we say the joy comes from the Lord. Happiness is conditional. I'm sometimes happy. Sometimes I'm really happy when we go out to eat. Then I'm not happy because they don't have what I want. then I'm happy again, and then I get the bill, and I'm not so happy after that, right? What? I'll give it to my wife, yeah. So happiness is conditional. It changes. We get happy, we get sad. Things happen around us. But joy is something that is cemented. It comes from the Lord. It cannot be shaken by the things that are going on around us because it is an acknowledgement that God is God and he loves me and he will protect me and he will watch over me and his promises are true and that brings me joy. God's favor is real. It may not always look like worldly success, but it means his hand is on your life for good. So, as I finish up here, each morning, I want you to remind yourself of a few things. One, you're loved. God loves you. You know that? Do you believe that God loves you? Sometimes we can see all of these situations and things going on around us, and it can, like I said, it can kind of dilute things, and we can go, well, I'm not really sure. Does God really love me? He's letting these things come at me. But we see what David was going through, and I can say, but I can see that David was loved. I'm loved. You're loved. That you're protected. God is not a God who will ever leave your side. He's with you always. Through all situations, through all issues, through all problems, you are always protected and you are surrounded by God's favor. Sing for joy. Even when you don't, the Bible even tells us that in all situations that we give him praise. Amen? Because we know that he's working. We know that he's alive. We know that he has a plan. I always tell people this in counseling. I've said this about 1,000 times from up here as well. But, you know, we're pastors. We get to repeat a lot of things. But that is that God's never caught off guard, right? So I've even challenged people that come in to counsel with me. I'll go, okay, I'll give you $1,000 if you can find somewhere in Scripture where God was caught off guard. Because it doesn't exist. There's no place in the Word, and then God said, oh my, how did this happen? He doesn't exist there. God's never caught off guard. He is always working, and there will always be breakthrough. He's always watching over me. He always has a plan, but sometimes I am so deluded in myself that I'm not seeking for what is the answer. What does God want me to do? And that's what David's doing here. God, what do you want me to do in this situation? I don't know the way out, but he does, right? He knows the way out. So Psalm 5 teaches us a few things. The rhythm of our righteous life, and that's one, cry out to God in all honesty. Cry out to God. He wants to talk to you. He wants to hear from you. A lot of things can be dealt with. Have you ever gone into a prayer where you spend time delving into prayer and pouring out your heart, and by the time it's all done, you're like, man, I feel so much lighter. Situation necessarily hasn't changed yet, but I have confessed everything before the Lord. That's why I go for walks. If you don't have a prayer closet, go find something, go for walks. Walks are good. I do a little 4.5-mile stretch around downtown, and I do that usually when I need to just spend some time talking to the Lord. And when I get done, I am feeling so light that I am blessed by that, to cry out to God in all honesty. Trust his holiness. We see throughout Scripture what God is against, and there are people that are against you that are wicked people. They're telling lies. They're doing deceitful things. They're coming up against you. God will have his way, and God is not pleased with that. He's not looking the other way on that. He knows that you're going through it, and he has a plan, and maybe even this is something I just thought of. Maybe he's having you go through this because he wants that person to come to the Lord. So you're being the punching bag for a little bit, because God's going to use it for that person's benefit to come to the Lord. That would be cool. Approach him humbly. He is God. He is God. Seek his guidance and rejoice in his protection. So start your mornings and live your days with this kind of a prayerful trust. Lay your burdens before the Lord and wait expectantly that God is going to move. I promise you. Pups, you guys can come on up here now if you'd like to. Here's what I want to say. Why can we trust that the Lord will take care of things? Because he hears you. He does hear you. He will lead you. He wants to lead you. He wants to shield you and protect you. And he wants to bless you. Amen? How many people want to be blessed in this place today? God's got a great plan, and it doesn't matter what it is, the thing that you're coming up against, what the difficulty is. We see what David went through. We've seen what so many men and women throughout Scripture have gone through, and we can see victory on the other side. And sometimes it's because he just takes us home, and I'm ready for that anytime he wants it to have happen. Amen? Father God, we just come to this word, and we want it to not just be a story about some other guy praying, but we want to walk away from it with some better understanding and maybe a little bit more of a heart to focus in on you. And so, Father God, even just as we read that first part, as I'm drawn back to the first part of that prayer, but Father God, we want you to hear us. I want to pray to you in such a way that I can sense that you are leaning over me to hear what it is I have to say, that you care, because I know that's the kind of God that you are. Father God, whatever the situations that are represented in this place today, I pray for clear and precise leading and the power and the strength for each and every person here who gets that leading to walk in that way, as difficult as it might be, that they would walk in those ways, Father God. We love you, Lord. We thank you for all that you do for us, because none of the things we just read are even, we don't deserve any of it, but you do it anyway because you love us. And we thank you. And it's in your great and glorious name. Amen.